Rich Flores. And we immediately enjoyed this man of God, fell in love with him, and appreciate who he is, how he ministers in obedience to the Lord. And he has, if you are taking notes, write down Rich Flores, FLORES.org, richflores.org, to get to his website with Global Crusade Ministries. He travels around the world doing the will of God, ministering to the people of God, helping to bring Jesus' kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And some of you may know the name Joel Osteen from today. Well, his dad, John Osteen, Pastor Carl, Pastor Sherry, knew him before he passed, and Lakewood Church in Texas. And Prophet Rich was there for 15 years under the ministry of Pastor John, raised up as a prophet and set out to minister. And he's now from Lubbock, Texas, but he's from really wherever Jesus sends him around the world. And from this morning, he's from Port Ludlow, Washington. So we're privileged to receive him. Let's welcome Pastor and Prophet Rich Flores. We say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Bless you, my friend.
I'm so so glad to be in your presence today. I believe, you know, let me see the hands of those that said, you know, I need the Lord to speak to me this morning. The Lord to speak to you this morning. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, as I was observing everything that's going on this morning, I think about how the gift in the church has left. I can actually tell you that I will probably go to about 150 churches until I find a church like this. Well, there'll be prophecy and then there's interpretation of what God is saying. I heard her clearly speak in Portuguese, you know, and this is awesome what God is. There's still people that are being used in churches that are still, you know, believing in the gifts of the Spirit. It's so important. It's so healthy. It's a healthy church. Yeah. And that's, so I'm overwhelmed. And I was listening to pastors, the worship, you know, now I don't even want to sing, you know, because, you know, it's so beautiful the way you guys worship the Lord and everything. But I'm still going to sing a couple of songs and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I have a new recording. It doesn't come out to next month. There's a couple of English songs in there. And honestly, to tell you that we had one more song to put into the recording, and we couldn't make up our mind. We're going to put 11 songs into this recording, and we couldn't make up our mind. And the last time that I was here, Pastor sang this song, and it hit me. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to record. I want that to be the last song that you're going to put into the recording. And I asked him if he could write it down for me and everything, and he wrote it down for me, and I took it with me and took it into the studio. And immediately the producer said, or the director says, you know, Prophet, we need to do this song, what is called commercial or international, to where it has a broader fan. We kind of brought it up a little, and it's an old song, but if you're sick in your body, I want you to just put your hand right there wherever it hurts, and as we sing, I want you to sing it with me and let the Spirit of God, you know, release healing in your body right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and heal your disease. I am the Lord, that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You are the God that healeth thee. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my
Jesus, bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God? I'm going to switch over. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. I don't know that I need my Bible. I just need to walk with it.
with a humble spirit and no pride. I, as a prophet of God and walking in the office that I walk, I don't really preach. I declare what God is about to do. And I had something else that I wanted to speak on. And last night as I rolled over, the Lord said, no, I don't want you to speak on it. So he changed my whole message, and I think it's better for me to speak what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. And I think we'll be okay after we do that. Thank you, Jesus. At the age of 99, God tells Abraham, you read the story before. At the age of 99, the Lord tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And the Bible says that Abraham laughed. I would laugh too. At the age of 99, God tells him that he's going to give him an heir. The Bible says that he laughed. He said, can it be possible that a man at 100 years old and Sarah at 90 will give birth to a child? But the Lord assured him that he was going to do it. He said, 1 year from now, at the right season, Spanish it says, al tiempo de la vida, at the time of life, I'm going to come and I'm going to visit Sarah. And she's going to conceive and give birth to a child. And I'm going to bless you for waiting and standing and believing for so long. There was a time that he doubted. God told him in every chapter, almost in chapter after chapter, he's reminding him that he's going to give him a son. Because sometimes God has to remind us a lot of times. And he's about 89 years old. The Lord tells him again, I'm going to give you a son. And he told, Lord, what can you give me? You've given me everything. Camels, servants, sheep, abundance. He's given me everything. But what can you really give me? Being that the very thing that I've asked you to give me, you have not. I asked you specifically for a son. And you haven't given me what I really want. Better yet, if I die today in my house, there's a slave that I bought a long time ago as I was traveling through Damascus. Eleazar was raised in my home. And if I die today, everything that I have, he will inherit it. Because you didn't give me what I asked you. Can you imagine? He couldn't wait on the Lord, so they're selling a whole bunch of babies. And he looks at all these babies and he finds one that looks just like him. And he said, I'll take that one right there. Because I can't wait anymore. How many times do we get ahead of the Lord? They won't let me preach. They won't let me sing. They won't let me be part of the leadership. But I'm wealthy. I can just go buy me a ministry. I'll buy me a church. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me alone. I will go and do my own. I've seen it over and over and over. No más para fracasar. Only to stumble. The Bible says he couldn't, he laughed. What can you give me? I think his friend looked at him and says, Abe, it's not like that. It's not like that. Because I'm not going to give you somebody else's ministry. I'm going to give you somebody else's gift. I'm not going to give you what the church down the street has. But what I'm going to give you is going to come out of you. And it's going to be unique. Somebody say amen. It's going to be unique what I'm going to give you. Nobody's going to have what I'm going to give you. And the remnant that you're going to reach, only you can reach. And the people that I'm going to put before you, only you is going to come out of your loins. It's going to be your kids. It's going to be your baby. Somebody get excited with me. It's going to be yours. And nobody else. I know you're biting your tongue. Because the Lord is speaking to you today. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. If Abraham can start his ministry at 100, there is hope for you today. I said there is hope for you today. Hallelujah. You can start today. You might say, well, you know, my time is gone. My train passed. My taxi left me. My skateboard, whatever it is. But today, you can start. Today, prophet, yeah, today. You can start today your ministry. Put a dent on something that God called you to do. Today. Today. What can you give me? He said, what I'm going to give you, nobody has. And 1 year from now, you're going to embrace Sarah. By the way, he says, where is my princess? He doesn't know her by princess. He knows by Sarai, which means scarecrow. Can you imagine that? How are we going to name this one? Name is Scarecrow. It's just been a scary time, so I guess we'll name him in the time he was born. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jabez is a name given in pain. Jabez was named given in pain. He was born at a very terrible era and time in their family's life. So he's named Pain. Can you imagine that? Come here, Pain. Sit down, Pain. Man, you're a pain. You laugh. You laugh. But maybe you've been a pain. Maybe you've been the outcast. Maybe you were the black sheep of the family. Maybe you were the least to succeed in anything. In my classroom, I was the least to succeed at anything. In my family, I was the least to succeed at anything. They told me you'll never be able to go in the military because you are handicapped. You can only hear with one ear. I only hear with one ear. Yet, I went into the Marine Corps. And I trained Marines. Well, some of them are still in the Marine Corps today. You will never be able to sing. If you sing, you'll sing, but you'll never be able to record. Because you can't hear in stereo, and you have to be able to hear in stereo to record. I am on my 8th international recording today. There is no pride in me. Listen to my heart. I'm talking to your heart and who you are. God has been keeping his eyes on you. what he has promised you, he will bring it to pass. So where is my princess? Lord, she's on the other side of the tent, paying attention to everything that's going on in here. I like to think he raised his voice then. Tell her that 1 year from now, this is terrible because she's already 90 years old. She's got to wait another year. Tell her that 1 year from now, I will come and visit her. And she's going to give birth to her babies. She can't suppress her giggles. She let it out. Took the words out of my mouth. Have you ever seen people dance? Yeah. They may do some crazy stuff. Yeah. And you chuckle a little to see them. But you don't know. How long they've been waiting. You don't know how long. They don't know. They only see the day. But they don't know yesterday. They don't know the price you have to pay to be at the moment that you are today. They don't know the tears. They don't know the crisis. They don't know the pain that you have to endure.
They don't.
I would have fainted. I wouldn't have laughed. I would have felt death. A lot of time you see people fall on the ground. You don't understand that. It's just overwhelming. That God would come and touch them. You know, it comes to my thoughts. And all she wants is just one baby boy. You read the story. Now the story goes that the two women are married to one guy. Well, I don't know if that's a double blessing or a double curse, but it's just the way it goes. Hallelujah. Somebody say it is, but what it is. Now, these two women represent the church. Can you hear me out there?
Yes.
These two women represent the church. One of it's named Penina, which means in the Hebrew pearl, perla. And the other one is named Hannah, which means two powerful words, one grace or favor of God. Yeah. So you can see the church here. One of them is a godly woman and the other one is not. Now the Bible says as time goes by, they become rivals. Because Penina, Pearl, she consistently every year is giving birth to a child. A baby. Baby girl, baby boy. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Take whatever you want. Yet, Hannah cannot even have give birth to one child. I don't know if you ever felt this way. That it seemed that the people don't like you. Maybe your neighbor that doesn't even serve the Lord. Every time you look over, he's got a brand new car. They're going somewhere. They're traveling. They're being blessed. And you, every Sunday go to church, and every time you get into your car, you looked over and your neighbor's cutting the grass? Don't shut me down. Come on. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. It seems that God just doesn't. It almost seems that God doesn't answer prayer only on the other side of the fence. The Bible says that they become rivals. And it doesn't say what she would say to her, but the Bible says that every time she went to the house of the Lord, listen to this, every time she went up to the house of the Lord, that's when her rival would get on her. And we can imagine some of the things. There you go again. Come on, Hannah. You really think God loves you? Come on. For crying out loud. It's been 7 years. I got 7 kids. Look at this. And you don't even have one. God don't love you. God loves me. God don't even care about you. Really? Come on. You say you're going to preach one day? Ah, come on. What are you doing at little church? All they want is your money. Really know how I said it? Money. Kind of like rings. Money. I don't know what the enemy's been telling you to discourage you. But listen to this. The Bible says this goes on for 10 years. The Bible says that Elkanah, the husband, would come in at a certain time at the sacrifice. He would bring a bull and sacrifice. And the shoulder he would cut it out of there and he would give it to the priest, and that was a priest portion. And then he would go home and he cut pieces and he would give up for each one a Peninnah's kid. Everybody would leave the room. But to Hannah, he would give her a double portion. I like the way he says in Spanish, una porción escogida, a special, selected portion. Come on here, Mama. Because the Bible says that he loved her. He had favor with her. Her name, favor of God. Come here, favor of God. Sit down, my love. Close the door. I said, close the door. What are you saying, prophet? Oh, you don't know. There is a difference from the wicked and the just. God will not treat you the same. There is a difference for those that love the Lord and walk before Him. The favor of the Lord is over you. I said, the favor of the Lord, it's over you. And God will fulfill in your lifetime what you have asked. I love what David said. Lord, I know you're going to bless my children and my generation, but in my lifetime, Lord, let my eyes behold your glory, your blessing, God. And you've gone through a lot and you're sitting here today. And the Lord is speaking to your ears today and telling you, I have not forgotten you. You might think I've forgotten you, Hannah, but I have not forgotten you. And I brought you a long ways that I may speak these words from a prophet that you don't know from Adam. The Bible says, that Hannah would go up to the house of the Lord. She would just fall on the altar. Lord, give me a son. You know, one day, Scripture says that the husband came in through one of the doors, doesn't say from which one, and she doesn't know that he came by. She's in the altar, she's crying her tears out, and he came out of nowhere to check up on her, because as husband, that's what we do every once in a while. Say amen, sisters. And we act like nothing. What are you doing? I'm working. What do you think I'm doing, you know? Y le da voces. He sees her laying on the altar. And he comes up to her. Hannah. Hannah, my love. What's wrong with you, Hannah? Why don't you eat? Why don't you drink, Hannah? What? Hannah, por favor, my love. Mija, please, what's going on? Listen what he tells her. As a husband, we know what our wives are going through sometimes. But it's so hard because sometimes they go through some things that we can't even help them ourselves. You know, we do everything for the spouse. Everything. In Texas, we call them wifa. A wife, wifa. You have to be careful with a wifa. The Bluetooth, the computer, and everything turns on, you know. So. You'll get it tomorrow, anyway. And this part, I mean, you give her everything. You give her a brand new car. You give her a house. You give her money in the bank. You give her jewelry. You give her, make her hair stripes and the nails. Everything. Because you love her. Look what he says. Hannah! Hannah, por favor. For crying out loud, Hannah! Look at me! Am I not better than 10 sons? It's been 10 years. I understand this, because when my wife goes through things, baby, what's wrong with you? Come on. Cheer up. Look at me. Look what God has given you. Rejoice in the Lord your God. I think I'm trying to growl or something. It's traditional, isn't it? But that wasn't enough. One day out of the blues, I'm almost done. One day out of the blues, she comes to the altar of the Lord. I don't know what happened to her. I can only guess. And believe that she had a change of heart. And she came out to the Lord, the altar, and she said, Lord, I make a covenant with you. I make an oath with you. You know, covenant is different. See, we promise God, but covenant is completely different. Covenant is, the word covenant in Hebrew It's an incision where the blood flows. You probably know that. In other words, I would grab my knife and then I'd give you the knife and you and then mingle. I promise you that I will never break this covenant. Amen. Our bloods are mingled together from this day on. So she's in the altar. Gonna make a promise and a covenant with God. If you give me a child, I promised you, when I have weaned them, in our terms, when I don't have to breastfeed him anymore, I'll bring him and I'm gonna leave him here in your altar all the days of his life. Wow. I think I said 6 months or something, but all the days of his life. Young, when he's barely coming out of the womb, the covenant, the blood covenant. I also want to tell you, Lord, while I'm here, that I forgive Penina. And I forgive you, Lord, because I thought that you hated me. Because there are people. The problem is not with nobody, it's with God. Why? Why did you let this come on me? Why did you let me go through this? Why did you take her away? Why did you take him away? Why? I've served you all my life. Why did you let this calamity? And you're here today. You gotta let it go. You gotta be like Anna today. Forgive. Let it go. But maybe you say, Prophet, but I have a right. Because of the way they treated me. Maybe you do. But you still gotta let it go. Or he's gonna keep you from doing what God wants to do in your life. It will not allow you to go forward. You will not be able to achieve your goals. You will not be able to finish your race. If you don't let it go. Listen to the Spirit of God. 10 years have gone by, woman of God. And never once did the priest, the pastor sitting on a chair next to the pillar, never listened to her. As some say that he was fat. I think as soon as she made her vow to God, the Lord woke up the priest. Wake up, Fessel. And pay attention what's going on. And the Bible says the priest got up and looked at her, and her lips were only moving. And he judged her. He said, how long is this until you're going to leave your wine, your beer? She turned around and said, my Lord, please don't think I'm that kind of woman. I mean, pouring out my heart here, grieved, asking for a son. I think she looked at him and said, wait a minute. You know me. You know me for 10 years I've been in this altar. You know who I am. I like to think he grabbed her and says, get up. grant you what you have asked. And the Bible says that she went home. And I think that maybe it was her turn. And the Lord heard. You know, this is something else because there's a bedroom. I'd be scared to go in that bedroom. Because every time Penina goes in that bedroom, she comes out and she's pregnant. And every time I go in there, there's nothing. I'm empty. Have you ever felt that way? They prophesy year after year that God is going to come through you, and then a year ends and nothing happens. You come to church year after year and it seems like God, nothing, won't answer. Everybody's pregnant with something. And you're barren. I'm going to leave you with this thought. There is a difference between Sarah and Hannah. See, Sarah needs a miracle. The way of the woman is gone. She can't conceive. She needs a miracle from God. But if you read the scriptures in Hannah, he said, and Elkanah, the husband, would come and give a portion to each of the women. And to Penina, give a portion to each one of her kids. But to Hannah, he would give her a double portion. It doesn't stop right there. Because God had closed her womb for a season.
Yeah.
What are you saying, prophet? It's not that she can't have no kids. It's not that God's not answering her prayer. It's just not God's season. It's not that God's not answering your prayer, hearing your prayers. It's not that He's not going to come through for you. And He shuts it for a reason. Because He doesn't want you to get ahead of Him. Abort what God has placed inside of you. It's not that God's not going to give you what you're asking Him. That's a good word. That is a good word. I want to stand with you and I want to pray with you today. And you say, Prophet, that word was me. And if you're a man, I challenge you to go read that story. It's a mirror. It's a reflection of your life. And watch how God is going to speak to you better than I can. I only have a space here. But God's going to speak to you better than I can. You're here, Hannah. What if this is your year? Hang on. What if this is really the year that God elected for you? This is the year of your breakthrough. This is your year of your victory. This is your year that God answers what you've been asking Him for so long. And this was the year that you planned to throw the towel in. To quit on Him. Because you see yourself in the mirror and your hair is gray now. Well, there's no hair there no more. What if this is your season? Raise your hand. Say, Lord. I refuse to quit. I refuse, Lord. I trust you. As Abraham trusted you. I trust you today, Lord. That before I die, my eye will behold your promise for my life. Would you stand? I don't know if you feel the presence of God. I feel the presence of the Lord is strong in this place right now. If you say, Prophet, this word was for me, want you to grab your spouse and say, well, let's go, honey. They're going to pray for us right now. Don't worry about nobody. You come. You know who you are. This is a personal message.